Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Mindfulness and Acceptance Workbook for Anxiety is a self-help workbook grounded in acceptance and commitment therapy, a behavioral approach that emphasizes psychological flexibility rather than direct symptom control, written for people dealing with anxiety, phobias, panic, worry, and related fear patterns. The book combines psychoeducation with structured exercises intended to be used actively, not merely read passively. Its central purpose is to help readers change their relationship to anxious thoughts, bodily sensations, and avoidance habits so that anxiety no longer dictates the direction of daily life. Instead of promising the elimination of fear, the workbook teaches acceptance, mindfulness, compassion, and values-based action as practical skills. This makes it different from many anxiety books that focus primarily on relaxation, reassurance, or cognitive dispute. The book is also used by clinicians as a client resource because its exercises translate ACT principles into concrete personal reflection, behavioral practice, and ongoing self-monitoring. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, anxiety is treated as a struggle pattern rather than a defect to remove. A defining feature of the workbook is its reframing of anxiety. Rather than presenting fear as an enemy that must be defeated, the book focuses on the ways people become trapped by efforts to suppress, avoid, or control anxious experience. This distinction matters because many anxiety management strategies become counterproductive when they are used as attempts to guarantee safety or eliminate discomfort. For example, a person may avoid driving, social contact, medical appointments, or uncertainty in order to feel better in the short term. But those choices gradually narrow life and reinforce fear. The workbook encourages readers to examine this cycle without blame. Anxiety is not treated as a personal failure, and anxious thoughts are not treated as proof of danger. The problem is the rigid pattern of organizing life around escape from inner discomfort. By shifting attention from the presence of anxiety to the cost of struggling with it, the book prepares readers for an ACT approach in which progress is measured less by immediate calm and more by increased freedom to choose meaningful action. Secondly, acceptance and mindfulness create distance from anxious thoughts and sensations. The workbook uses mindfulness and acceptance to help readers experience anxiety without automatically obeying it. Mindfulness is presented as present moment awareness of thoughts, feelings, bodily sensations, and urges, while acceptance involves making room for those experiences when fighting them is unworkable. The reasoning is practical rather than abstract. Anxious thoughts often appear convincing because they arrive with bodily arousal and urgent predictions. If a reader treats every alarm as a command, behavior becomes dominated by avoidance. Mindfulness practices interrupt this automatic fusion by helping the reader notice anxiety as an experience happening in the mind and body, not as an unquestionable instruction. Acceptance does not mean liking anxiety or resigning oneself to suffering. It means reducing the extra struggle that comes from trying to force inner experience to disappear before life can proceed. In this sense, the book teaches skills that increase behavioral options. A person can feel fear, notice the urge to retreat, and still choose a response consistent with values. Thirdly, values-based action is positioned as the main path out of avoidance. The book places unusual weight on values, which are the personally chosen directions that give behavior meaning. This emphasis is central to ACT and separates the workbook from approaches that define success mainly as lower anxiety. The logic is that anxiety becomes especially powerful when life decisions are organized around reducing discomfort rather than building what matters. Values work asks readers to identify areas such as relationships, work, health, learning, service, or personal integrity. Then consider how fear has pulled behavior away from those directions. The workbook then uses committed action to translate values into concrete steps. These steps may still involve anxiety, but they weaken the dominance of avoidance by reconnecting behavior with purpose. This approach also gives readers a more durable measure of progress. A difficult conversation, a return to an avoided situation, or a small act of responsibility can count as meaningful improvement even if anxiety remains present. The result is a model in which fuller living is not postponed until symptoms are gone. Fourthly, workbook exercises turn ACT concepts into repeated behavioral practice. The book is structured as a workbook, which means its effectiveness depends on active participation. Its exercises are designed to move readers beyond understanding anxiety intellectually and toward practicing new responses in daily life. This format is important because anxiety habits are maintained through repetition avoidance. Checking, reassurance seeking, rumination, and escape become automatic over time. A purely explanatory book may help a reader recognize these patterns, but not necessarily change them. The workbook format asks readers to observe their own fear cycles. Record reactions, clarify values, practice mindfulness, and experiment with behavior that anxiety previously blocked. These tasks create feedback. Readers can notice how avoidance works in the short term, how it restricts life in the long term, and how willingness to experience discomfort may open new choices. The exercises also make the book useful in therapy, where a clinician can assign chapters or practices and discuss obstacles. However, the same structure requires effort, consistency, and readiness to engage with discomfort. Lastly, compassion reduces shame while supporting responsibility for change. The workbook includes a compassionate stance toward anxiety, which is not merely a comforting tone but part of its therapeutic logic. People with chronic anxiety often become frustrated with themselves for being unable to simply calm down, think rationally, or stop worrying. This self-criticism can intensify anxiety by adding shame and hopelessness to the original fear. The book counters this by normalizing the fact that nobody chooses anxious reactions and that the mind can produce threatening stories automatically. At the same time, compassion is not used to excuse avoidance or passivity. It supports responsibility by making it easier for readers to look honestly at their patterns without becoming overwhelmed by self-blame. Kindness toward oneself creates a more stable base for difficult practice, such as staying present with physical sensations, entering feared situations, or choosing valued action while uncertain. This balance is one of the book's strengths. It neither minimizes suffering nor treats anxiety as a reason to stop participating in life. In conclusion, the Mindfulness and Acceptance Workbook for Anxiety is best suited for readers who are willing to work with exercises and examine how anxiety shapes behavior, rather than those seeking only quick reassurance or a simple calming technique. It can benefit people with generalized worry, phobias, panic-related fear, social anxiety patterns, or avoidance habits, provided they can use a self-guided workbook safely and seek professional support when symptoms are severe or disabling. Therapists may also find it useful as a structured companion to ACT-informed treatment. Its practical benefit lies in teaching readers to stop making symptom removal the condition for living, and instead build skills for mindfulness, acceptance, compassion, and committed action. Intellectually, it offers a clear alternative to the common assumption that emotional control is the central goal of anxiety recovery. Compared with many anxiety self-help books, it stands out because it does not rely mainly on positive thinking, relaxation, or disputing every anxious thought. Its distinctive contribution is the claim that freedom from anxiety comes through a changed relationship to fear and a renewed commitment to valued living. That makes the book demanding, but also more realistic for readers whose repeated attempts to control anxiety have narrowed their lives. If you would like to support John P. Forsyth, HD, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.